This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bottom of the first inning, it is 2-0 Dodgers. And shockingly enough, Joel Nelson, Mookie Betts gets on base, Freddie Freeman homers, and that's why it's 2-0. I mean, he is the surefire World Series MVP if the Dodgers are able to close this thing out tonight. Guys, crazy, crazy good. 2-0 Dodgers, bottom one. Penguins still down 3-2, 6-13 and winding in period number two. Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. That's where we find our good friend, Stephen Thompson of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. He covers the Panthers. Stephen, thanks for joining the program. Big one this Saturday against the Mustangs of Southern Methodist, but questions surrounding the quarterback position for the Panthers and Eli Holstein. What's the latest on his status? I know Pat Narduzzi didn't give a whole lot away, but do you expect Eli Holstein to be available this weekend?
Yeah, to be honest, I can't say for sure, Jack. Like you said, Pat Narduzzi's been pretty tight-lipped about this one. I think he's given us some nuggets here and there about different injuries throughout the year. But this one, I think for obvious reasons, he is being very extra tight-lipped about. We won't really know, and I don't expect that we are going to know until we get down there on Saturday at Gerald Ford Stadium in Dallas. It's interesting. The Mustangs are facing some questions about their own quarterback health as well. Their starter, Kevin Jennings, took a nasty hit in the Duke game when they played last weekend, so he's questionable as well. I think there's a little bit of gamesmanship going on both sides between Brett Lashley of SMU and Pat Narduzzi. I don't think anyone wants to tip their hand at all. But the other thing is, I think both teams have really capable backup quarterbacks. Nate Yarnell for Pitt, I don't think I've been shy about how much I believe in him and think that he's a good player. And then Preston Stone was the starter for SMU coming out of training camp to start the year, and then he gets benched, eventually gets overcame by or beaten out by Kevin Jennings. So I think both teams would feel just as confident with their backup quarterbacks in, but obviously you want those starters in because it's kind of a similar thing where Jennings and Holstein kind of provide the big playability that Yarnell and Preston Stone on the other side haven't been able to show throughout their careers.
Yeah, and a small sample size, obviously, in the Syracuse game with how much the offense wasn't on the field because the defense just kept picking off Kyle McCord. But I feel like the productivity of the Pitt offense has kind of dropped off in the last couple of weeks. So only 17 points against Cal and, 21 of the 41 off of pick sixes against Syracuse. What has changed offensively? Maybe have teams done differently to defend Pitt, or what do you think has changed about this Pitt offense and why we haven't seen as much production as we did to start the season?
Well, I don't know if teams are doing many different things, but I think the book is out a little bit on how you can stop Eli Holstein or maybe bait him into some bad decisions. I think he has been hunting the deep ball a little bit more than he maybe should. This is combined with, against Cal, the running game was pretty good, but they had a couple explosive plays that really, made up most of the yardage there from Desmond Reed. But against Syracuse, the running game was almost non-existent. I think they had a hard time blocking Syracuse especially. So, I think it's a combination of the book kind of being out in Holstein. You keep a bunch of DBs back and you try to confuse him. You try to bait him into thinking that there are bigger plays down the field. You take his eyes off of maybe what is the smarter play, which is an open receiver who's, maybe in the flat or something like that, where he can get the ball to a playmaker and have them, pick up some yards after the catch. That worked really well for him, early in the season against West Virginia, second half against Cincinnati, and at other points this year. And he got away. When Eli has struggled, I think the common thread has been he's looking for the big play more than he should, and his eyes are getting a little bit wide, which is kind of to be expected from a true freshman. But, you know, Eli, I think they're counting on him to be a little bit smarter than that, because they have seen him when he's taken what the defense gives to them, when he's a little bit smarter with the football, and that's when this offense is at its most efficient.
Stephen Thompson with us on the Fan Hotline. He covers Pitt Athletics for the Post-Gazette. On the flip side, Stephen, the defense has been remarkable, and five interceptions and three of them for touchdowns against Syracuse speaks to that, obviously. But, you know, some guys getting some love nationally. Kyle Lewis on the Bednarik Award watch list, and I think that's well-deserved. This defense in its entirety, how would you assess the growth of, you know, the defense from the front seven to the secondary?
Yeah, so we knew the linebackers were going to be good. I think I said at the beginning of the year, I wasn't the only one to say this, but the linebackers were the best position group on the team, and I think they've lived up to that. Not only, you know, the top line of Kyle Lewis, Rasheem Biles, and Brandon George, all of whom were playing far and away the best football of their careers, but they have some depth too. Braylon Lovelace has been excellent. Key Thompson has been really good as a backup as well. But it's been the other parts of the season. It's been the other two levels, the improvements that the defensive line has made. Getting Sean Fitzsimmons back at defensive tackle has been huge, helped him create a little bit more pressure, made him a little bit better against the run as well. I mean, he's really only gotten about three games, I'd call it maybe three and a half games of action in a seven-game season so far. So getting him back full-time has been huge. Nick James has been in and out of the lineup as well, defensive tackle. So getting him back has been really big as well. But, you know, these corners who I thought at a certain point this season might have been a little bit of a liability have been excellent, especially over the past two games. You know, they haven't been challenged in the same way that they were maybe against Cincinnati or teams like that, or even North Carolina. But they were just like the linebackers against Syracuse, just all over every play. They were sticky in coverage. It was almost like they knew where the ball was going to go on every play. They were in position to hand Kyle McCord a couple more turnovers than the five, I believe. I think it was five interceptions that he threw on Thursday night. So it has been steady improvement by every level of this Pitt defense, and it's all aiding a linebacker group that's been the best, if not one of the best in the ACC, and you could even make the argument the country. Everyone's kind of doing their little bit, and the splash plays have come along. It was a slow start, but now you're seeing what this defense can really be, which is, you know, at its best, one of the elite, you know, turnover forcing units and splash play earning units that you can see in college football today.
Now, SMU, Stephen, 7-1, obviously 20th in the country. Their only loss by a field goal to BYU, who has turned out to be a pretty damn good football team. They're undefeated. What else does SMU do well? We'll start offensively. Both teams, Pitt and SMU, with similar numbers this season on offense, but it really does seem like it starts a tailback for the Mustangs.
Yeah, tailback, but also they have an interesting, I mean, they've got a bunch of guys who are threats as rushers and receivers. So you think about Breshard Smith is kind of the big star for them as far as skill position goes. I mean, he's already at 900 yards and 10 touchdowns, and we're, you know, a little bit more than halfway through the season. I guess they're, you know, closer to two-thirds of the way through the season, but still those are some pretty ridiculous numbers. But they've got, Roderick Daniels is another name, another guy that's kind of a multiple threat for them, both out of the backfield and catching the ball. They hit on big plays quite a bit. Jennings leads the ACC in yards per completion. It's kind of, I wouldn't say feast or famine because he's fairly efficient as well, but he does throw a lot of interceptions too. They do have a ton of turnovers. They give the ball away quite a bit. But they are really versatile. They have a lot of speed. They try to get to you on the outside, which is where Kyle Lewis and Rasheem Biles, who are pretty fast in their own right, are going to have to do a really good job playing sideline to sideline. You know, those linebackers especially are going to have to be on their toes. And then you think about the defensive line, especially the ends, but also those corners are going to have to do a good job stringing out plays, keeping contained, and then waiting until, you know, some support can get there to roll things up. Pitt's going to have to really fly to the ball against this SMU offense. I think they're going to try to keep it on the ground. They're a pretty good rushing offense. And then you got to always be vigilant if they try to do some play action or some trickery to try to beat you over the top once you're.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Looking in the backfield a little bit too much.
Stephen Thompson with us of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. He covers Pitt Athletics for the PG. Stephen, for Pitt offensively against SMU's defense, what avenues do the Panthers have to success in the game plan?
Well, I think the number one thing is taking care of the football. This is a really opportunistic SMU defense. I don't think they're particularly stout, down to down, but they can lure you into some mistakes. And Eli Holstein has shown, especially over the past couple weeks, that he can be prone to mistakes at times, that he can, like we talked about earlier, be looking for those big plays too often. They came really easily during the first 5 or 6 weeks, and then the well gets kind of shut off. So he's got to be smarter with the football. And I think as long as he does that, everything else kind of takes care of itself. Like I said, these playmakers that Pitt has are multiple, and they are really explosive when they get the ball in their hands. So Holstein's just got to deliver the ball to them. It's not like he has to be Superman, like he has to do anything special. He's just got to be smart with the football. And so if you don't allow SMU, who's one of the top teams in the ACC in terms of intercepting passes, I think they're number two right now in the ACC in intercepted passes. Just make sure that they don't get their hands on the football, that they don't steal plays from you, make them beat you down to down, and hopefully they can get that running game back in order. You want to see what Terrence Enos, who's stepping in for Branson Taylor, the injured starting left tackle, you want to see what he can do. But kind of a big game for him, too, against some pretty good defensive ends from SMU. He's going to have to clear some way on the edge, give Desmond Reed some room to bounce some runs outside, and hopefully they can get some big plays there, too.
Yeah, so it sounds like you're pretty optimistic about the Panthers this week. Give them a very legitimate chance to win. Am I correct in saying that? And it sounds like maybe you think that most of the sports books having this thing at +7.5, the Panthers 7.5-point dogs, might be potentially a little steep. You give them a legit shot to win on the road?
Yeah, absolutely do give them a good shot to win on the road. I think especially after watching SMU turn the ball over 6 times total against Duke, and Duke didn't cash in any of those turnovers for points in a game that they lost by 1 point. If SMU gives Pitt those kind of opportunities, if they pull up Kyle McCord, obviously, like, this game will be over pretty quickly. I do think that 7.5 points, I think it was when I looked earlier today, is pretty steep. I think a lot of it rides on Holstein's health. I don't know how, the news about Jennings maybe being questionable has kind of played into it, but I would guess that for two teams who, their resumes look fairly even. I know Pitt's on the road, but that usually only gives you about a 3-point bump. Usually that's usually what you assume in betting lines for the home team. 7.5 points seems like a lot. If you can, I don't want to give anyone gambling advice, but if you can still get 7.5, I feel like that's a pretty sound bet. If Pitt does lose this game, I don't think they're going to get blown out. I think they'll be comfortably within that 7.5-point margin. I really like them in this game. When I make my prediction later in the week, I'm probably going to pick them to win like I have all year. I think they match up pretty well with SMU. So that 7.5 line, I think, is mostly attached to Holstein's health. And if and when he gets cleared up later this week, I expect that line to change. And even if Nate Yarnell's in there, I have a lot of confidence that they'll be able to cover that line pretty comfortably.
Yeah, and even if it is Nate Yarnell, Stephen, maybe potentially some added motivation for number 19, heading back to his home state about 3 hours, right, between his hometown of Austin and Dallas. I mean, you would have to imagine that would motivate him if he were given the opportunity.
Yeah, I'm sure it will certainly motivate him, but also, I mean, this is a guy who, well, let's face it, I mean, if this season continues to go the way that it's headed, and Eli Holstein sticks around for another year, he's still got 1 year before he's even draft eligible. Nate Yarnell is going to be probably looking for a different place to play. And, if he can get a start against the top 25 team, put some good things on film, that's extra important for him. But I also think it might just be a pride thing for Nate. I mean, he knows that he's good enough to play at this level and to win at this level. So any chance that he gets to play football, he, I know, is going to take that opportunity by the horns. He's going to attack it with everything that he's got. And you're right, motivation between that factor, between heading back home, hopefully having some family and friends in the stands, there is going to be no shortage of motivation for one Nate Yarnell if he's the one who gets the nod on Saturday.
Stephen Thompson of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette joining us, breaking it down. Pitt football, 18th in the nation. They take on 20th-ranked SMU on the road on Saturday. Stephen, safe travels. Thanks for joining us. We'll do it again soon, man. I appreciate you.
Appreciate you, Jack. Have a good night.
You too, brother. Take care. That's Stephen Thompson. There he goes. End of the second period of PPG Paints Arena. Joel Nelson and another Minnesota Wild goal. The Wild lead it 4-2. That is now 4 unanswered for the Penguins. Yay for Marc-Andre Fleury, but I'm at the point now where it's just become, I don't know what it's become. It's almost uncharted territory when it comes to these Penguins. It just goes from bad to worse, and now it seems like we're in foreign waters.
And think about how many times they've had leads in those games too. Like this, they had a 2-goal lead, 2-0. And then there was that Vancouver game. They had a 2-0 lead or something like that, a 2-goal lead. And that was erased rather quickly, and Vancouver won that game. It's brutal, dude.
It's brutal, and I think I'm going to say this, and then we can maybe take some phone calls on it as we head into the break. I think it's time to move on from Mike Sullivan, and I want your guys' take on it. 412-928-9370. Enough is enough. With this Penguins team, I think there's now a very legitimate shot that this team might make a midseason coaching change, and the Mike Sullivan era, in my eyes, should come to an end inside PPG Paints Arena. We'll take your phone calls on it if you choose to give us a buzz. 412-928-9370. Jack Hillgrove with you on the Fan Evening Show until 10:35 tonight. We'll be back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.